Our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, Matt Clement, with a lot of Pirates All-Star game news today. O'Neill Cruz, the home run derby, Paul Skenes picked Sunday night to pitch in the game. He'll probably start again, I would guess. Matt, he got pulled at 78 pitches, 5 innings, 10 strikeouts. He is near the top of the league in innings pitched. We've never talked to you about this before. Where do you come down on this age-old debate about being extra, extra careful with young pitchers and making sure there's not a big innings jump from one year to the next?
I mean, I think it's part of the game right now that you have to deal with. You know, as far as the specific what just happened, I mean, take it back another start. He had 88 through 5 with the Cardinals, and then he comes back with 78 through 5 and the Seattle, which, you know, looking at it now as a historically bad series, you really want to win that game to keep the momentum of what happened on the homestand. And I wonder what will happen Friday, because then you're going to bring them back on this All-Star occurrence will happen on 3 days rest rather than the 4 days rest, the normal time. So you're kind of I would rather let them go as 110 pitches and skip them on Friday, try to win that game. And then you build in some like longer rest for him with a short outing on Tuesday. You know, just a personal opinion when thinking about the whole subject. But I mean, you have to be careful with him. He's your franchise. He's the moneymaker. He's the person that's people are coming to see. And if you do make a run in the next 3 or 4 years, he is going to be square in the middle of it. There's no way that's not the case.
Matt, give me like the true answer here as best you can. The guys in that clubhouse, they know what their record is, right? They know that they're back on a losing skid after winning 6 in a row. What's the impact of having the GM flat out say, yeah, we altered his calendar here, his schedule, to allow him to pitch in the All-Star game? Are guys frustrated by that kind of thing? If he's pulled after 78 pitches, if this next outing might be a very short one, or do players generally say, well, we kind of know where we are in the standings, I get why they're doing this?
I think you're dealing with like a generational talent here. We're not talking about somebody else's number one. We're talking about the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, let's think about this. He's 4-7. He might start the All-Star game. I mean, that's how he's thought of. That's how good he is. And he's a generational talent. So I think the players are going to understand the situation better than probably everybody would think they would. They know that they're not going anywhere without him. They know at some point they're going to cut him back, whether it be move him to the 6th day or whatever the case may be, because they're trying to be careful and gradually move him up year by year. So I don't think that the players are looking at it that way. Even if they were in the pennant race, I think that there'd be a little bit of, because there's such wiggle room with what you're going to do with this guy to make sure he stays healthy, that it's not like an issue that's just like right in your face and you know what exactly should be or shouldn't be happening.
Matt, you pitched, you were an All-Star. I'm curious, like, what thing do you think is more relevant to protecting a pitcher? Is it pitch count within a game, or is it like cumulative innings over a season?
I think it's, you know, you have to watch the pitch count within the game. And I mean, you're talking to somebody that went, you know, 5 years in the minors and made 28 starts and threw like close to 180 innings, 160 to 200 innings in my minor league career. So it's a totally different world right now, but there's totally different money involved right now too. Mm-hmm. And I just believe, like, to me, pitch count, you know, understanding, handling the situation, it comes down to the stressful pitches, in my opinion. That's the biggest part of this thing that nobody gets. Like, you can go 7, throw 105 to 110 pitches in 7 innings, and it'd be way less stressful than throwing 95 in 5 innings where you have the first 2 guys on every inning and you have to figure a way out of it. The best of the innings, how easy the pitches come is, you know, to me, the bigger factor in the grand scheme of things. And let's be honest, like, you know, we talked about Skenes a little bit here and there, but we never got to this point. Like, teams are attacking him to get his pitch count up. That's what I'd be doing too. Like, I would be making sure that we get that in the 5th, 6th inning up to get him out of there. As good as the bullpen's been amazing for the Pirates, but as good as the bullpen's been, you don't want to be facing Skenes if you have the choice.
So just to build on that, Matt, would you say that like almost a pitch count within a particular inning is more worrisome to you if you're like saying what could affect him negatively? If he has to throw 40 pitches in an inning or 35 pitches in a given inning, that might be a bigger issue for a guy's arm health if he has to do that start in and start out. There's always like one late laborious inning than just like an overall pitch count, like keeping the stressful innings to an absolute minimum.
Absolutely. I think that's got to be part of the read in the grand picture, in my opinion. Like from somebody that unfortunately had a lot of 30 to 40 pitch innings in his career, knowing what that felt like going back out after those innings. It's stressful on the arm. It's stressful on the body when your body, you know, and he's in phenomenal shape. He looks like he could pitch. The tough part about Skeens is he looks like he's never tired. He looks like he could throw 200 pitches and not get tired. He looks like he's indestructible when he's out there pitching and facing people because he's put himself in that position. But I feel like, you know, there's more number, a certain number of pitches, a certain number of innings. There's that part in the middle there, how you get to those is big. And another, you know, he's hard to hit. So you're either, you know, walking or striking out a lot of the time. And you're not usually making contact early because of his stuff is so good. So that puts that pitch count higher.
Matt Clement, our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst with us. Matt, I want to get to O'Neill Cruz in the Home Run Derby, but one more on Skeens. When he was pulled at 78 pitches, he seemed fine with it. His post-game comments were made it seem like he was completely on board. There was no negative body language or bad body language whatsoever. Everybody I've talked to with the Pirates makes it seem like he gives it a thumbs up. And like I also think that that's a different psychology or way of looking at it, mindset. Like I think back to your era, which is not too long ago, I don't think a guy would have wanted to be pulled after 5-10 strikeouts, 78 pitches, 0-0 game, right? Mentalities have changed, I would say.
Absolutely, but I also say with when it comes to Skeens, like first off, we don't know what was said before the game. You know, he might have known that already.
I think he did. And I think my guess is he did, Matt.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that makes him so likable and easy to root for and so easy for a franchise to kind of rally behind is, like, there could be a pitcher that comes out and is like, this is dumb, this is stupid. He's going to say the right thing whether he believes it or not. So we can't, you know, do we really know? Skeens is pretty well schooled in how he talks to the media and what he says and what he believes. And he just doesn't, the guy to me, especially at this point in his career, it's going to sell out the franchise. I mean, think about his comments pre-season this year about, you know, when trades or he's going to leave in 6 years. And he's like, I want to win here.
Yep.
I'm here. I want to win here. I want to bring it here. And that's important to him. And I think of those comments. And I just think somebody like him, that's how I would have been. Not that I'm anywhere near Skeens, but in my talent level, but I would have never, upset or not, I was smart enough to know like this is what they're doing. I'm going to deal with it. If I have a problem with it, behind closed doors.
Matt, let's go from a guy who's thrown some of the hardest pitches we've seen recently to a guy who has technically got the hardest hit ball in the history of StatCast on his resume, O'Neill Cruz. He gets added to the Home Run Derby despite almost 40 players across baseball having more home runs than his 15 this year. What do you make of his addition? Is that seen as like an honor? Like, do you look at that as he's not a deserving player to be in it because his numbers overall aren't that great? How do you view O'Neill Cruz getting added to the Derby?
Well, I'm going to say it this way. I look at the Derby, and I think the MLB got it right. You know, my issue is if you want to compare it to a similar sport, like look at the slam dunk contest, and they're bringing a guy in from the
G League
developmental league to get people to watch it. You know, and here, like, I want to see the guys that hit the ball the furthest and the hardest or whatever the case may be. I guess my argument, let's get like Judge and De La Cruz and Stanton in there too with to throw them all up against it. I get your point. I didn't realize there was 40 people that had more home runs than him, but this is a fan thing. And I think the MLB has this right. If the rules were taking the best ones and all of a sudden we're like, well, Cruz hits it hard, let's throw him in there too, you know, because some people, you want to see that, but those kind of haven't been the rules of late, and the rules have kind of skewed from the original derbies back in the day on how they do it. So I think they got it right. It's exciting. Like I might actually tune in a little more to see it, to see what he does to a ball, and you know, in that stadium.
Who put on the best batting practice show in person from your day in Major League Baseball?
Well, I mean, The Mark McGwire show during this, you know, I was in the middle of that whole Sosa McGwire. I got called up the year they had the show off, but you know that where they went off against each other trying to break the record. But had the you know, so the next year I wasn't really part of it. I got called up, but that next year they were so popular and so crazy. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I walked out to watch McGuire take BP. and you know, as far as teammates of mine that I had, like, I mean, Manny Ramirez and Big Poppy were incredible to watch do it. I'm not gonna, again, I won't lie and say I didn't watch like Barry Bonds when he was going for 70 home runs go out there and take his BP also. I probably would have lied back in the day because I wouldn't want to look like I was checking that out as an opposing pitcher. But like, I've got to, you know, those guys are so, they're so good. And kind of, you know, a funny story, when I was in the All-Star game, you know, one of the stories that was flying around that All-Star game in the locker room that year was, you know, if they put Ichiro in this home run derby, he'd win it every time. Like, he had the ability to win it every time.
And didn't he also have some obscenity filled speech he'd give before every All-Star game? That was a rumor I heard that he would do that.
I believe that happened. That happened post my All-Star game, okay. But I have heard that for sure. But like, him, and the funny thing is about those great, great hitters that people probably don't realize is, you know, Tony Gwynn was the same way. Like, I'd hear those guys on the bench. I was with the veterans that were with the Padres this time, and they'd say, hey, if Tony Gwynn wants to hit a home run, he's going to go hit a home run. And you know, and he could hit 30, 35 home runs. He wouldn't bat 340, he'd bat 315. But he takes pride in his batting average and how he does things. And I think Ichiro is that same way. And I, you know, I've heard that Ichiro like put on a ridiculous display in BP when he wanted to go out there and hit home.
Hey, Matt, speaking of great hitters, I'm wondering if, and this might be, the answer might be no. I know you spent the 2001 season with them. Miguel Cabrera would have been an 18-year-old kid in A-ball the year you were with the Marlins in their system. Did you happen to cross paths like with him as far as spring training or anything like that? And did you see marks of greatness that were to come if you did? Like, do you have any very young Miggy Cabrera stories?
I don't have a specific story, but I remember it very vividly. You know, there was this, he was on shortstop when that next spring training when I rolled into, he was on shortstop.
Wow.
And you could just see it. And there was a lot of hype around him. Like, this wasn't, you know, this was kind of the De La Cruz hype and the O'Neill Cruz hype, that kind of hype for a young kid. And I remember, like, the little bit I remember is seeing him work out at, like, shortstop during big league spring training. And you know, and then when he got called up and started doing what he did, it wasn't even, like, the least bit of a surprise to me. Matt, I mean, he was so thin at the time. Like, he was such a, you know,
yes, he was
a little kid. He was out of high school.
If you were going to nominate a pitcher from when you played to participate in the home run derby, who would you pick?
Well, I might have some people call me and be mad at me. You know, I had three Cubs teammates that could really hit, and that would be Kerry Wood, and who hit a home run in game 7 of that after the Bartman incident.
Yep.
To tie the game.
God, the roof Mark came Pryor off that place when he hit that. I still watch that highlight. That place came unglued when he hit it.
Absolutely the loudest environment I've ever been in my life. I could feel the stadium shaking during that home run when he was running the bases. Mark Pryor is a DH at USC, in the lineup, DH at USC, and he could really hit. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy is Carlos Zambrano.
I knew you were going to say that.
Probably he has the most home runs of that crew, but all three of them, like, think about me taking BP with those guys. I was like, you know, these guys, and I had Greg Maddux, who like really took pride in it that year, who was who could be close to a 300 hitter at times during his career. So I was like the dude that was like hanging on the side and grabbing Sosa's bats and trying to hit him on the wavelength.
the Zambrano stat that is insane, Pony, are you aware of this, Matt? You might not be either. He had he was worth almost 1.5 wins as a hitter.
Wow.
In the 2008 season. He had an almost 900
That's
OPS.
Tremendous.
That is ridiculous.
That is really good. Hey, Matt, thank you so
That's
much
awesome.
For making it work this week. We'll talk again on next Tuesday, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys. Next.